This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Mainstream Republicans in North Carolina are under attack from the right. Even conservatives like U.S. Representatives Robert Pittenger and Renee Elmers are facing tough talk from the Tea Party. At a town meeting in August, Pittenger took a question from an audience member. The Tea Party website, constitutionalwar.org, posted this video on his website.
Real quick, easy question. This is what the Tea Party wants to know. Will you vote with Mike Lee and Meadows here to defund Obamacare? Yes or no?
Is that a thoughtful answer?
I want yes or no.
No.
Yeah, well, even though the audience said they were not looking for a thoughtful answer, Pittenger tried to offer one anyway.
The Constitution does say that all appropriations have to come from the House. So if every Republican votes against it, it does not get funded. That's a fact.
No, sir. It has to pass the Senate, be signed by the President of the United States.
Will you make a stand to get the back on board?
Shut down the
government. Do you think Harry Reid is going to pass that in the Senate?
It doesn't matter. Harry Reid is. We need to show the American people we stand for conservative values.
Go. And now, because of that vote to end the government shutdown, Pittenger's vote, he may face a primary challenge in 2014. Here to talk about the difficulties facing Republicans in North Carolina and across the country, political junkie Ken Rudin. Welcome, Ken. Good to talk with you.
Frank, it's great to talk to you again.
So what do you make of that clip? Here's Pittenger explaining why it makes absolutely no sense to do that vote, and they're not having any of it.
Well, you know, it's one thing, and we saw this in 2010, it's one thing for Tea Party folks to rail against the Democrats, to rail against President Obama, but since the 2010 elections, it seems like more than not, many Tea Party activists are eating their own. They're going after their own Republicans. And to talk about Robert Pittenger and Renee Elmers, I mean, these are not liberals. These are not rhinos. These are conservative Republicans. Renee Elmers is one of the most conservative members of the House. Robert Pittenger is certainly a conservative, too, but if the name of the game is supporting, you know, if it's supporting the shutdown of the government, well, you know, the Republicans tried that. It failed. The Republican brand took a beating in the polls, still taking a beating in the polls, and yet there are many Tea Party people said, well, that's still, you know, voting to stop the shutdown is a heresy.
And we saw Renee Elmers caught in the crossfire. She didn't know which way to turn in the midst of all of that while it was going on, right?
Well, that's true. I mean, look, she said from the beginning, here's the problem. She voted to keep the government closed. Unlike Pittenger, she didn't vote to reopen the government, but she did have the temerity to say prior to the vote, the original shutdown, that I really think this is not the way to deal with it. I am opposed to Obamacare. I've been opposed from the beginning. I voted against it. As you know, I was elected basically in opposition to Obamacare, but do we shut down the government? And I say no. And by doing that, she also invited a primary challenge, even though she voted to keep the government closed when it came to that final vote.
How serious a threat do you think they face, both Pittenger and Elmers, now that the Tea Party is taking aim?
Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, Elmers was once upon a time in a very marginal district. She barely won her seat in 2010. It's a much more conservative district now, much more Republican district, as is Pittenger's. You know, they redrew the lines in 2012, and it helped the Republican Party. But, of course, what they did was basically they made many members of Congress less fearful of a Democratic challenge and more fearful of a challenge from the conservative right in the primary. So do I think they're going to lose their primaries next May? I probably don't. But, of course, the split in the party is not just endemic to North Carolina. It's happening around the country. And for a Republican Party that desperately wants to hold on to control of the House and keep Speaker John Boehner as Speaker, you know, these kind of primary battles do not help the party at all.
And then what do you make of Howard Coble, an incumbent Republican, who says he's not running for re-election, so that becomes an open seat. What happens there?
Well, that's a closer race. I mean, Howard Coble has, you know, he's been around a long, long time, first elected in 1984. He has had health problems. But, you know, for the longest time, he would always win with 75, 80% of the vote, often unopposed. And yet in 2010, the rise of the Tea Party, we did see Republican opposition to Coble, that he's not, we need new blood, he's no longer energetic, and a lot of times Howard Coble has voted against the Republican Party. He's never been a big supporter of the war in Iraq, for example. So there are some conservatives who said, well, you know, he's not one of us anyway. So that'll be another battle among the Republicans in next year's election.
And, of course, this is interesting because the questions is what happens to conservative Republicans in the general election when they have to face a kind of broader constituency for a vote. So,
You just defined the Mitt Romney problem. Obviously, Mitt Romney in 2012 had to go further and further to the right on immigration, on so many issues, to appease, you know, to win over the conservatives who vote in the primaries and caucuses. And then the Republican has to go back to move to the center in the general election in November to get those independent centrist voters. And that's not an easy switch for many people.
And what about more recent elections, these past week's elections? What does that tell us about how the general public is feeling?
Well, you know something, I don't know the answer to that because I'm still trying to decipher what Virginia told us. For the longest time, we thought that the Tea Party had moved the Virginia Republican Party so far to the right that their candidate, Ken Cuccinelli, was going to get clobbered by Terry McAuliffe, a very flawed Democrat. But Cuccinelli was very, very conservative. And the message we all thought was going to come out of Virginia that, well, here's proof that the Tea Party has reached too far. But the election was so close, unbelievably close, nowhere near the 12-point spread that the Washington Post said it would be. It was only 2.5 points. And the Tea Party says, well, it's not our fault he lost. It's that the establishment deserted us. They abandoned us. So there's no message coming out of Virginia except for the fact that both sides are pointing fingers as to why Cuccinelli lost, and obviously a kind of pointing fingers that you're going to see again throughout 2014.
Now we go to New Jersey. Chris Christie won another term as governor. Again, what does that tell us?
Well, I mean, he is a conservative. I mean, he loves to tweak the Democrats. He loves to tweak the unions. He loves to stand up and do his New Jersey kind of thing. A lot of it was personality. You know, a lot of Democrats are saying, well, it really wasn't about ideology. It was about the fact that they liked the way they liked his persona. Look, Chris Christie clearly is a conservative. He's pro-life. He battles the unions. He is certainly looking at 2016. And, you know, the Republican Party is going to have to decide where they stand. You could be a purist wing of the Republican Party, like Ted Cruz of Texas, for example, and you could be purist and vote, you know, one way, an absolute way, and win over all the Tea Party folks in Iowa and New Hampshire. But again, what happens in November? And, of course, everybody assumes, and probably assumes correctly, that the choices would be against a Republican versus Hillary Clinton. And, the question is, can the Republicans move, get enough centrist voters, the big middle, where the majority of the voters are, at least the plurality of the voters are, enough to win in November? And that's what Chris Christie's argument is, that somebody, he can do it, whereas the Rand Pauls and Ted Cruz's of the party cannot.
So here we sit trying to read the tea leaves. Cuccinelli loses, but not by much, in Virginia. Chris Christie wins in New Jersey. The Republican Party is clearly worried. I mean, in another good piece yesterday in the New York Times about hand-wringing among mainstream Republican leaders over what to do about the Tea Party. They are clearly worried, and they seem to have some sense of direction or where this is headed. Would you say?
I'm sorry?
Would you say?
Well, you know, absolutely, but I think both sides are saying the same thing. The Tea Party is still looking at so-called establishment Republicans. You can see it in the North Carolina Senate primary. You may see it against Renee Elmers, and you'll see basically that we need to make the party pure to stay true to our principles. And then you have the business wing of the Republican Party, the Chamber of Commerce folks of the Republican Party, and they'll say, well, look, you know, we can't be led so far to the right that we can't win in November. And so many Chamber of Commerce Republicans, many establishment Republicans, are going to propose either battling financially the Tea Party folks and taking on their candidates as well with more centrist Republican candidates. So, you know, the thing is, nobody's talking about the Democrats anymore. And if they are talking about the Democrats, it's usually about the inability of President Obama to sell the Affordable Care Act. And they have, so they certainly have their own problems, but for the Republicans to take advantage of this, and there are many Democratic problems, and we can talk about that if we want, but they're, for the Republicans to take advantage, they've got to come together as some kind of a understanding of where the party is headed, and they don't seem to be anywhere close to doing that.
Well, certainly the Affordable Care Act is the number one issue that they could take advantage of. Are they too hobbled by the shutdown and the impact of that on their polls, or is this their way back?
Well, see, that's a very good question, because had the Republicans not shut down the government, had the House not voted to shut down the government, all the focus would be on the fact not only is the website, you know, they talk about the glitches in the website, not only is that a problem, but one, so many people realize that their premiums are going to go up. So many people realize that the President Obama's promise that if you like your health care policy, you can keep your health care policy. Well, that may not be exactly true. Now, of course, Republicans are saying he's a liar. I think that's a little going a little far. But you saw the president apologize yesterday, saying, "Well, I kind of misstated what I wanted to say." And this is a great opportunity politically. I'm just talking about politics here. A great opportunity for the Republicans to take advantage. But their own numbers are so weak that with the shutdown and all like with all that, that you wonder if they forfeited a great opportunity to take advantage for 2014 and beyond.
Ken, thank you so much for talking with you. Good to talk with us.
Frank, thanks a lot.
Good to talk with you. You can tell me if it was good to talk with us. I really don't know.
It wasn't bad on my part. I kind of enjoyed a lot of it.
Okay. Political junkie Ken Rudin joined us by phone, and you can find out more about him at our website, stateofthings.org. We're going to hash out the current state of voting rights in North Carolina when our program continues on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.